Well, praise God. Let's all stand in the presence of the Lord. I'm telling you what. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I say praise God. Hallelujah. Let's turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 106. Psalms 106, verses 37 through 45. Now, I want you to understand the scripture that I'm reading are the people he is talking to are people who've been anointed, appointed, and called out to represent God. But not everybody that has the blessing of God walks in God's will. And sometimes we stray, and this is what happens. Yea, they sacrifice their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus they were defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance. And he gave them into the hand of the nations around them, and they hated them and ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand. Many times did he deliver them, but they rebelled and provoked him with their counsel, and were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. And he remembered for them his covenant, and he changed his mind according to the multitude of his mercies. I want to look at verse 44. He heard their cry. Just for a few moments, we're dealing with the subject, one cry away. One cry away. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for your love, your mercy, and your compassion. Let this word go forth, God, with the loving kindness of our Savior, truth, demonstration, and power of the Holy Ghost. We'll never fail to give you all the praise and all the glory in the mighty, wonderful name of Jesus. And the church says, amen. You may be seated. Just for a few moments this morning, we're dealing with the subject, one cry away, one cry away. You see, the Word of God, as we read in the Scripture, lets us know that we have enemies. And the most obvious enemy that we face is Satan himself. He is the originator of all evil. He is the culprit of every evil, vile, vicious, ungodly thing that you see on this earth. Satan is behind it all. The Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, against wicked spirits in high places. Satan is behind it all. But Jesus Christ has come to this prince and power, the air. And he went to the cross of his suffering. And he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. He went into the heart of the earth. And there he placed his bloody foot on top of Satan's head. And he brought Satan under the subjection of his cross. He brought Satan under the subjection of his blood. So we know that Satan is an enemy. But the enemy has been dealt with by the blood of Jesus. And through the name and the blood of Jesus, I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. There's a second enemy that we all realize is the world. The Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For he that loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. If you love the world, the love of God is not in you. But Jesus gives us the victory that overcomes the world. He said, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And that faith is this, that I am crucified with Christ, but yet I'm still living. And it's not me living, it's Christ living inside of me. And the life that I'm living right now in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. So victory over the world is the fact that greater is he that's within me than he that's within the world. The victory over the world is that there's one that lives inside of me. He lives in me and dwells in me and talks with me. So the enemy of the world has been dealt with by the faith that has been given unto the saints. But there's a third enemy that we all face, and that enemy is the enemy of our flesh. And as long as you are living in this human body, and as long as there's breath flowing through you, you're going to have to deal with your flesh. Now, I know there's sometimes people seem to think, well, I have better flesh than other people. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not a murderer. I'm not in prison. I'm not a liar. I'm not this and I'm not that. And we begin to think of ourselves, the Bible said, higher than we ought to. But the truth about the flesh is this. Your flesh is what it is because of the environment in which it lives. So you take me. I was raised in a very strict, conservative, Pentecostal, full gospel, spirit-filled home. I was raised in a house that never had magazines, never had any newspapers. The Bible was read. Prayer was heard frequently all over that house. I was raised in a home with very strict convictions, old-fashioned places we did not go, things we did not do, clothes we did not wear, games we were not allowed to play. I was raised in that environment. But yet at the same time, if you would have taken me and placed me on the streets of an inner city. And in the inner city, my mother would have been a prostitute. My father would have been unknown, but a drug addict of some kind. If I would have been raped and molested several times over and over before I reached the age of 7 or 8 or even 9 years old, it's going to have a damaging effect. It would be the same flesh, just placed in a different environment. So when someone says, I will never do this and I will never do that, you better thank God 100 times, 1,000 times and more. And you better change your vocabulary to say, I am what I am by the grace of God. Because if it wasn't for the grace of God, my flesh has every bit of potential of being whatever thing it could be. In everyone's flesh, not some people, not some nations, not some people, not some different ethnic groups, not some different, you can't say, well, I am what I am because I'm an American. I am what I am because even a higher step than that, I'm a Kentuckian. And some would say, I am what I am because I'm from the mountains of Kentucky. It makes no difference where you're from or who you are. Your flesh is capable of every filthy, ungodly thing that is written in the scripture. So the Lord has included these scriptures because He wants you to understand, even though that you could be just like these children of Israel that came out of Egypt by the blood, these people who watched God literally part the Red Sea before them, these people who saw a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day, these who were fed with manna from heaven, these whose clothes and their shoes never wore out, these that God had blessed them were 140 million gallons of water gushed out of a rock, and how that God just poured out His Spirit upon him. The flesh is the flesh. And anytime the flesh is not connected to your God or begins to stray from your God, you will find yourself, your flesh, you will find your flesh going along with what everybody's going along with, because it takes something greater than you. It takes something bigger than you. It takes the God inside of you to cause you to live an overcoming life through and by the power of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was raised in this church. I began playing the piano here when I was 8 years old. I was saved when I was 5, baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues when I was 6 years old. Had many spiritual encounters with God when I was a child. But before that, I really sold out and God called me into the ministry, there was a season in my life that I became more influenced by this world, and I began to let my personal relationship with Christ, that wasn't important to me, and I began to stray and stray. And I remember hearing them teach in school, and they began to present the story that the world is overpopulated, and we have to do something about the overpopulation. And the number one cure would be abortion, which would be birth control before the baby gets to until it's actually a baby. And they said it's only a mass, and you just go and have the mass removed. And I remember sitting there, and even though I was raised in the Pentecostal church, in the holiness people, even though I was the piano player, even though I'd had all these experiences, when you stray from the Lord, you hear me? When you stray from the Lord, all at once you start thinking things that you shouldn't think. And in my mind, I thought, well, there's nothing wrong with abortion. It's just a removal of mass. It's to control population. And besides, what are you supposed to do with all these extra babies anyway? Who wants to raise all these unwanted babies? Who wants to have that? That was what was going through my mind, because my mind was not cultivated by the Word of God. It was not governed by the Word of God. So if anyone would say, well, I'm this type of person and I'll never engage in that, the Scripture plainly tells us that these Hebrews who were called out, who were anointed by God, who were appointed by God, who had seen more miracles than you could even imagine, they had gotten to the point that they began to sacrifice their sons and their daughters unto devils. And they began to actually, they didn't have abortion as we have it. They would take the babies that were born because of their drunken parties and because of their idol worship. They would involve themselves in sexual activity. Now there's all kinds of babies to be born, and they don't even know who the fathers are and don't know what to do with them. So they do what Baal has to offer, and that is bring these babies to Baal, place them up on the arms of Baal, and let those babies go up in smoke and be sacrificed to these idols. We're talking about God-fearing people did this. We're talking about people who knew better. We're talking about it. Without God, you hear me? Without God, without the restraint, without the Holy Spirit, without God, you sit here and you say, I'll never commit adultery. Yes, you will. I'll never steal. Yes, you will. I'll never lie. Yes, you will. I'll never cheat. Yes, you will. I'll never do text messages and send it to someone else. Yes, you will. You are capable of everything that the flesh does without the restraint of the Holy Ghost and the power of God upon your life. The reason why that most of the time that people do not engage in that's because environmentally they haven't been placed in that situation. But when that situation occurs, you find that the Bible said they were defiled with their own works, and they went a whoring after their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that it nauseated him of the sins that they were involved in. And he gave them over to the nations that surrounded them. And those other nations that were wicked nations began to rule over them, because they hated them. And their enemies oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hands. And many times did he deliver them, but they rebelled and provoked him with their counsel. They were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. When he heard their cry. This message this morning is only one cry away. And this is what I can tell you about the United States of America. I know this is the land of freedom of worship. It's a land that you're free to do whatever. You can worship a frog today if you want to. You can worship a turtle today if you want to. You can be an atheist if you want to. You can be anything you want to be in this country, because it is a land of freedom. It is a land of choice, and it is a land of freedom. And America has given this freedom because of those that founded this nation. But let me tell you something about the United States of America. Whenever a catastrophe takes place, or whenever there is something that's out of the control of mankind, they know that Buddha cannot help in this situation. They know that bowing five times to Allah will not change anything. They know they cannot follow Tom Cruise and the Hollywood stars and look to Scientology for someone from outer space to come and change a situation. They know that the Hindu gods and Hare Krishna are not able to handle this situation. The United States knows beyond the shadow of a doubt, when your back is up against the wall, when you're in a catastrophe, when you're in a situation you don't know how to handle, there's only one name that you can call on. There's only one person you can call on. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he ever lives to make intercession for us. He is the great advocate. He is the great attorney. He is the one you can call on in the morning, in the noonday, and he does make a difference. I said he does make a difference. It's not just calling on a God. It's calling on a God that answers prayer. One that will answer prayer and turn the catastrophe around and turn the problem around. He's a great God, and he's worthy to be praised. a shout of praise. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. This nation knows to call upon a God who is able, to call upon a God who can. Several while back, when a horrible tragedy took place and little children in kindergarten and in the first grade were shot to death and their blood was laying all over in the schoolroom, and our president came to the podium. He began to address the citizens of the United States of America. This is what he said, because I'm telling you, America knows where to go. He said, in times like this, the only place you can find comfort is in the scripture. And he began to quote what the word of God says. When your back is up against the wall and all hell has broken out around you, I'm here to declare today that we're only one cry away from God giving this country a great awakening. I said only one cry away. We're just one cry away from God's power and His Spirit being poured out upon all flesh. This past week was a week of extreme sadness. It was a week when our nation had faced something it had never faced in many, many years. There was a young man by the name of James Foley. He's only 40 years old. Now, my wife and I have raised 9 other boys besides our own sons, and some of them are about 40 years old, as we had when we were just young married and they were just children then. But God had placed them into our provision. And when I looked at this handsome young man who was a newscast reporter and his devotion to his job, wanting to shed light on exactly what is happening in the Middle East and what happened on August the 19th, 2014, his parents received 6 emails. I don't want to scare you, but I remember going to Russia, and I was in Moscow, and when I went to the hotel, they took my passport and slid it under the computer. I happened to be standing there. As I looked on the computer, I saw where I lived. I saw everything about me. Everything that's electronically scanned came up on that computer. My occupation, my salary, anything that was electronic, even your little thing, brother and sister, they have access to it if it is electronic. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you what a day and what an hour to think that the enemy himself can 6 times send emails to a family in the United States of America and show them videos and show them their son and tell them, this is what we're going to do to your son. Terrorist attacks upon this, after 6 different emails that were sent. Then they videoed the handsome young man as he knelt on his knees with a knife in the man's hand. I'm talking about barbaric activity. I'm talking about activity that you should think would only be written in a history book from centuries and centuries of the past. But I want to warn every one of you in this house and every one of you watching by television, or every one of you that are watching by the internet, the devil has not changed. Just because there are computers, that doesn't change the powers of darkness. Just because we travel in jet planes doesn't change the power of darkness. Just because that we have high technology does not change the evil. He's the same evil from past. He is the same evil from present, and He'll be the same evil in future. There's only one way to overcome him and to overcombat his power, and that is by the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Bless his name. I said, bless his name. I feel an urgency within my heart. I know a lot of people have turned the house of God into a circus, and they've turned it into some kind of entertainment center, but you're looking at the wrong preacher. My heart is stirred, and I know that God has called us and God has anointed us to bring a great awakening to this nation. I know we're only a speck of sand in all the globe of the world, but God has given us an awesome responsibility to point to the cross of Jesus, to lift up the name of God higher than we've ever lifted it before. The Bible said, in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. The reason why God's going to pour out the Holy Ghost is because you're going to need the Holy Ghost. You can't live it in your own power. You can't live it in your own strength. You can't live it in your own ambition. You've got to have the power of the Holy Ghost dwelling and living inside of you. I believe we're only one prayer away from the hand of God reaching into this nation and bringing us once again a church back to the foundation of all faith, that Jesus saves, Jesus delivers, Jesus is the King of Kings, Jesus is the Lord of Lords. There's no God like an unto our God. Bless his name. I said, bless his name. I said, bless his name. You want to know why that a Christian has peace? Because the head and Lord of the church has peace. You know what? You want to know why the Christian forgives? Because the head and Lord of the church, he forgives. You want to know why the Christian loves? Because the head and Lord of the church, triumphant, he loves. You want to know why the church has compassion? Because the head and Lord of the church has compassion. Oh, the Bible said we are his building. Jesus said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You want to know why that the church is holding together? Because it's got a master builder. Jesus is the great contractor. Jesus is the one building this church, and he don't build with junk. He don't build with hatred. He don't build with lies. He don't build with deceit. He don't build with all kinds of arrogance. He is the Lord. I said he is the Lord of the church, triumphant, the great almighty God. Oh God, give us a great awakening. God, give us a great revival in this nation. The church is not only his building, but the church is his body. Meaning that all life comes from him. All compassion comes from him. All endurance comes from him. All. I said all. He is the head of the body. He is the builder of the church. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. He is the builder of the church. I said he's the builder of the church. So everything that's built comes from him. The terrace, after 6 emails to the parents, their handsome young son kneeling on his knees in the desert, they placed the video for the world to see it. It's been removed from the American computers, but everybody else in the world is watching it. They showed it in China on the big screen in outdoor theaters, and the Chinese communists began their propaganda. If you get rid of God, if you get rid of God, you won't have any of this. All of this is because of the small-minded men and women who believe in a God. But if you remove God, there will be no war in the world. Let me tell you, when you take God, I'm talking about the creator of this world. I'm talking about the savior of this world. I'm talking about he which was and is to come. You take him out of the equation. You know what you have? You have hell. Hell. I'm not talking about hell as a condition. I'm talking about hell, and some people are going to fall over and pass out. They said, I went to church and I heard the word hell, and it made me nervous. It ought to make you nervous. You know what hell is? Hell is a place where there's no God. Hell is a place where there's no love. Hell is a place where there's no forgiveness. If you want a world without God, then you want a world that's hell. Oh, but thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have God in himself. I've had people look at me with their egotistical ambition and say, I've already made a commitment to my congregation. They'll never hear the word hell in our church. How true, how true. We don't want to make people uncomfortable. We don't want to. Let me tell you what hell is. Hell is when you take a young man kneeling, and before you cut his head off as a barbaric savage, slowly butchering it off with a sharp knife. You know what hell is? Hell is when that demonic spirit of terrorism looked at that young man and said, before I execute you, could you stand and pose like Jesus on the cross? Because I want every Christian to know that Christ never died on a cross. You hear me? The originator. You hear me? Somebody said, why is this terrorist? Because the originating force was a murderer. The originating force was a liar. The originating force was full of evil. That's why, oh God, help us today. We're in the most strategic times that we've ever been in. We're up against the wall. Do you hear me? But the Bible said, when they cried unto the Lord, after 6 emails, the boy's head was gone. Now the newscasters spoke to the parents. You are Christians. It's all over the world. You are Christians. What do you say about this? And almost in a sarcastic question, as only a humanist can place it, will you forgive him? The father waits and he says, not today, but God will give me grace to forgive him. Hallelujah. How can that happen? How can that happen? That can only happen because the builder of the church is Jesus, and he is a forgiver. How can that happen? Because the body of Christ by its head is a forgiver. He is a forgiver of every sin. How can it happen? Because greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. In the mid-1800s or early 1800s, there was a man by the name of Henry Dunant. He was raised a strict Calvinist, other name for a Baptist. Raised a very strict Baptist. His family and parents were such benevolent people. They took care of the poor and the needy. And he was raised up with good Christian parents who took care of the poor and needy. He started a benevolent organization called the Red Cross. Because of the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ and how his love and his passion was portrayed. You take the cross out of this, you've taken the love away. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. In Europe, the Red Cross functioned until the Dunant family had gotten such in a financial place they could no longer function. In the United States, an American woman by the name of Clara Barton, she went to a more liberal form of Christianity. It wasn't strict Baptist like the Calvinist. It wasn't hard-nosed. It was more liberal. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. If you can't tolerate other Christians, you need some help. This isn't somebody say, well, I was raised this way, I was raised that way. I was raised in a church where the women were not allowed to wear jewelry. You hear me? Do I want to just push everybody out and say, pull your earrings off and I'll fellowship with you? You hear what I'm talking about? I'm saying this, you're going to have to get, it's going to be Jesus and Jesus only. We cannot sit around and shove the Catholics here, shove the Baptists here, shove the Methodists here, shove the Nazarenes here, shove the Holiness here, shove the Pentecostal here, shove the Charismatic here. If you've got a shoving spirit, you're in the wrong place. Because we are in one of the greatest wars we'll ever face. Do you hear what the Word is saying? This is not a time for Christians to become shovers and pushers of everybody else. If we all believe that God so loved the world, if we all believe that Jesus died on the cross, if we all believe up from the grave He arose, if we believe He's the Savior of the world, let's hold our hands high. Let's give worship. Let's give praise. Let's give honor to Him. You hear me? Don't you be sizing people up and down if a young man comes in with some clothes on that you think he shouldn't come in. You keep your nose to yourself. Let the Lord Jesus Christ shower some love on him. Let the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ do a cleansing. Let God reach you all He can reach. Oh, bless His name. I said, bless His name forevermore. Hallelujah. One cry away. One cry away from God changing the hearts of this nation and saying, we need Jesus. Can you all sing that maybe? Oh, it is Jesus. Just a few minutes. Oh, it is Jesus. Oh, it is Jesus in my soul. I said in my soul. I was back between the 9 o'clock service and the 11 o'clock service. And I said, Lord, I don't know how to preach this message. I don't know exactly how to say it. I don't even know how to put it. Your anointing was great at the 9 o'clock service, but I'm going to be on the internet at the next service, and I'm not afraid to mention your name, and I don't want to push people away. I want them to understand the root cause of all terrorism is Satan himself. It is Satan himself. And Satan hates the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. So before the young man was beheaded, they had to make him He had to stand with his arms stretched. He had to stand there as if he was on a cross before they beheaded him. And they made sure that they filmed that. Made sure it was filmed. But when I was in the office and I said, God, Satan has never changed. He's just as evil as he ever was. Even with technology, even with computer, he can send emails now. He can send videos. He can get on YouTube. And I started saying, God, Satan is as evil as ever been. I heard the Holy Ghost say, hold it a minute. I have not changed either. You're serving a God that has not changed. He's the creator of the world. He's the savior of the world. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I would that all of the world would know there's nobody like Jesus. There's no one like Jesus. Sometimes when you get in despair, sometimes when your heart gets heavy. And believe me, when I was looking at you, I was watching you, Eric. I was looking at your face. And I kept on seeing that young man's face. Especially that military haircut you got there. It don't hit home till it's one of yours. You hear me? Evil powers of darkness. The evil powers of darkness that would take the Red Cross and change it. Clara Barton from a more liberal church. She's from a liberal church. She founded the Red Cross of America. And for over 100 years, everywhere that cross went, it represented Christ until 1983, when nations said, we can't let your cross feed our children, and we can't let your cross house our people who are homeless, and we can't let your cross feed the hungry, we can't let your cross clothe the naked. So the United Nations and the people gather and say, we're going to have to change the name to the International Red Cross and Red Crescent. To think that we're in such a state that nations of the world would not allow a ship full of food to feed their starving babies because of a cross. Oh, Jesus. But that don't change the truth. That don't change the truth. Brenda, get that choir ready, because I want to sing a verse of this before we go any further. The Bible said the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Hallelujah. The judgments of the Lord are right and are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than fine gold. And they're sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and keeping them there is great reward. There's great reward. You know why we're going to love in the midst of hate? Because of Jesus. You know why we're going to forgive in the midst of a chaotic world? Because of Jesus. Do you know why we're going to reach our hands out and burn with evangelism like we've never burned before? Because of Jesus. Do you know why we're going to invite our neighbors and our friends? Because of Jesus. He's worth talking about. He's worth lifting up. He's worth praising. Sing a chorus of that. Hallelujah.
It is Jesus.
You know, I can't explain it. This morning, I was back, you know, back there where I normally am, shaking people's hands and hello, how are you, and waving. And then all at once, His manifest presence. I thought, wow, you know when He's there. You know when He's there. And a thought came to me and said, how can you be saying hello to people and the brother that's passing out the candy, watching him pass out candy and looking over the crowd and really you're not listening to even the song. You're not paying attention to anything. Then all at once, Josh, come over here and stand by me. Is this real? When His manifest presence came, get a little closer. I knew. I might have been watching people. I might have been looking around, and I didn't even know the song they were singing. But the manifest presence. Hallelujah. How many of you touched Him? I want our elders to come down. Sing it one more time. Jesus, come on down, elders. If you're here this morning, military representatives here, didn't even know you was on the front row. I was halfway done preaching. And I apologize because I've called you Shauna's husband ever since you've been married. And I will remember your name. But right now I can't. Greg, I know your girls, but I will know you. I know this is hard on you. If anybody got on the internet and just saw the picture of the young man up, his face looks like you. He's handsome. Kneeling in that desert. And to look at the barbaric action that's taken place. This isn't about an event. This is about a Savior. There's evil that takes place all the time. But this only points to how desperately we need Jesus. How desperately we need Him. This morning, if you need Jesus as a Savior, a financial advisor, a healer for your sickness, they said they brought a little boy here, 5 years old, that needs a healing. Why don't you bring him up here? Let us pray for him. He fell, had an accident. I guess he can't move, has no feeling from his legs down, waist down. Is that right?
He was sin in this world.
Now, where are you from?
We're from Williamstown, Kentucky.
You go church out there?
We do, sir.
And he was hit by a drunk driver, huh?
Yes, sir.
And he's four.
He's four. 4 years old.
So his paralysis is from
here.
All right, from the chest down. How long has he been like this?
Since January 15th, sir.
This year?
Yes,
since
sir.
January. Well, you know what? We believe in miracles. Just stand down here and our elders are going to gather around you. Be careful going down those steps. And I don't know what kind of sickness or situation you've got, but you heard me. This is not an entertainment center. This is not a showcase cinema. This isn't a place where you get your joy pop and enjoy the circus. This is a place where we believe the manifold presence of God. Now you know what the need is. There's going to be other people coming up here. Is that your brother? Is that your brother? You want to get in on this, don't you? He's ready for the praying. Is this your family? Evidently, people must have heard there's healer in the house. I said, evidently, people's heard there's a healer in the house. Somebody greater than Tommy Bates. Somebody greater than anyone else. Let's sing and lift up the name of Christ as we ask God for a miracle, Father.
Oh, it is Jesus. Yes, it is.
I preach in San Antonio, Texas, at a great church. The pastor's son, Jason, and his wife actually sung on the front lines here, Katie. Their baby has been undergoing a lot of severe. They just had this baby. Jason sent me a text. He said, the doctors have just come and informed us that the baby's brain is not functioning. There's no brain activity going on there, and he's going to die. Said, I believe in you and I believe in prayer, and I want you to pray. I had a hard time on that one. Not that God has a hard time, because that Jason's my son's age, my kid's age, and I haven't texted him back yet because I've already got the report. But I started praying. I said, God, I don't even know how to pray. But I do know this, you're a God that's full of mercy. I don't know how to name it. I don't know how to claim it. I don't know how to confess it. I don't know how to possess it. I know all the things people tell you to do and all the words you just say and all of that. I know all of that. I know all the Pentecostal cliches. But God, I'm just asking for mercy. He texts me back the next day or 2 days later. He said, something has happened. The doctors called us in and said, we don't know what's happened. But he said, there's brain activity and there's nothing wrong with your child. I don't know how to pray in this situation, but I do know how to say, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Can we cry and ask for the mercy of God in the name of Jesus? Change this thing around. Change it around. The only reason why we're joining hands is because we want to come in unity. When we showed that film Friday night, I realized right then and there that God has appointed this church for a great awakening. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, let the strong bear the infirmities of the weak. Put your hand upon our brother Greg, who serves in high ranks in the military. Everyone, God, that's so concerned about what's going to happen is another war getting ready to break out. I'm asking you, Lord, to use every single individual in this house. God, give us the boldness to pray over our meals. Give us the boldness to get our children together in prayer. Let the choir pray together. Let the Sunday school classes pray together. Let every ministry pray together. Let everything come together in prayer, because when we cry unto you, you're going to show mercy and we need mercy. We need mercy. If you believe that, just begin to worship. For I have touched the
hem of his garment, and his blood has made me whole.
Oh, it's Jesus.
Oh, it is Jesus.
Yes, it's Jesus.
Yes, it is Jesus.
Oh, it's Jesus.
It is Jesus.
He never said, let your darkness. He said, let your light. Let your light. If you're able to, tonight we have evangelistic service every Sunday night at 6:30. Believe in God to continue this revival spirit. Matthew 5 and 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We thank you, Lord, for this service. Let our light shine bright in Jesus' name. Church says amen. Take a little time to hug some necks and shake some hands. Take time to pray tonight. Take time to pray.